Holy Spirit, take my words and speak to each of us according to our need. Amen. Today we come to the last installment of our look at five actions God requires of us. Briefly in review, the parable of the Good Samaritan reminded us to show kindness to all, even when it's hard. The story of Mary and Martha told us to take time to stop and listen for God's voice. The parable of the persistent friend reminded us to be bold and persistent in our prayers and words to God. And the parable of the rich fool told us to look beyond ourselves, using what we have to build a bigger table rather than a higher fence. Today's action is the only one phrased in the negative: don't fall to fear. I also feel it's one of the most important and pervasive messages in Scripture. In fact, I heard it said in seminary that those of us who preach really just have two or three messages that we preach over and over again. If that's the case, I'm fairly certain fear not is one of mine. And being heir of and participants in God's kingdom is another, so I suppose today you are getting my quintessential homily. I also heard in seminary, and in this case can attest to the truth of it, that preachers are often preaching to themselves as much as to the congregation. I understand how easy it is to live in fear today. After all, there is so much to fear in the world. Terrorism, war, active shooter scenarios, the economy, global warming, unemployment, hunger, poverty, homelessness, disease and death. Whew, that's quite a list. Do not be afraid, little flock, Jesus tells his disciples, tells us, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus' words are not an assurance that we will go through life untouched by these things. Rather, Jesus is reminding us that the fears of earthly life do not need to be the defining factors of our lives. This is true in the face of real mortal fear, but it is at least as true in the face of the anxieties of daily living, which are what most of us probably deal with on a day-to-day basis. This anxiety over basic necessities is an act of forgetting God's role as our provider, forgetting that we serve a God who attends to sparrows, ravens, and lilies, a God whose concern for humankind extends to the very hairs on our heads, a God whose desire is to give us the treasure of heaven. Being heirs of and active participants in God's kingdom is something that completely transforms our identity and activity. An orientation toward eternity allows us to confidently and boldly use our possessions and our time to enact the values and agendas of God's kingdom in the present as we anticipate its ultimate coming in the future. Jesus calls us to a kingdom-sided way of living, to orienting our lives around this true north. In a kingdom-sided way of life, we can let go of our desperate need for acquisition, of wealth or possessions or recognition, and see the whole of life as an abundant gift from a generous God, a gift that can be given away with abandon and without fear. Jesus calls us to open hands, not closed fists. This reminds me of a perspective that I believe was actually introduced, or at least brought to attention, in Franklin Covey's classic book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, the idea of a scarcity mentality versus an abundance mentality. He writes, "Most people are deeply scripted in what I call the scarcity mentality. They see life as having only so much, as though there were only one pie out there, and if someone were to get a big piece of the pie, it would mean less for everyone else." The scarcity mentality is a zero-sum paradigm of life. People with a scarcity mentality have a very difficult time sharing recognition and credit, power or profit, even with those who help in the production. They also have a very hard time being genuinely happy for the success of other people. The abundance mentality, on the other hand, flows out of a deep inner sense of personal worth and security. It is the paradigm that there is plenty out there and enough to spare for everybody. It results in sharing of prestige, of recognition, of profits, of decision-making. It opens possibilities, options, alternatives, and creativity. Covey's writing is done through the lens of the business world, but it is easily translatable to other aspects of life, including our life as Christians. It's so easy to operate out of a position of scarcity, to believe that it is generous giving and not fearful taking and hoarding that will leave us desolate and desperate. But the truth is, in God, we already have everything we need. And with the faith that God wants the best for us, we can live fearlessly with open hands. And when we let go of our fear, we are more ready to see God in the world. The latter part of today's gospel has an apocalyptic feel, which might seem sort of counter to Jesus' earlier call to not fear. The idea of a thief coming at an unexpected hour isn't exactly a calming one. But the readiness, the constant vigilance, for any Harry Potter fans out there, that Jesus calls for is not an on-edge alertness born of fear for the master's return or the thief's break-in. This high degree of nervous anticipation is neither helpful nor sustainable. It crushes creativity and drains away energy. Rest is a critical part of life. I invite you to think for a moment of those whose professions demand creativity. A composer or author working on a new piece, a scientist or mathematician working on a problem. So often we hear about a breakthrough coming not through unending persistence, but through stepping away from the work to take a break. That's why so many good ideas come in the shower. Instead of an anxious call to paranoia, the fearless readiness Jesus calls us to is a joyful anticipation that motivates action. It is a call to be on the lookout for Jesus at work in your life, to see the places where God might come to you in an act of kindness or generosity, in the face of a friend or a stranger. Like last week's story, it is a recognition that in this very moment, God asks for nothing less than all of you. This awareness is both a mindset and a skill that can be cultivated. Think again of the composer, author, scientist, and mathematician. Their breakthroughs don't just materialize out of thin air. They are possible because of all the work and care that was put in over time. Disciplined awareness must be carefully nurtured, and with this fertile ground for growth, fresh insight can come at some unexpected moment, like the thief in the night. St. Clare, one of the first followers of St. Francis of Assisi, founded the Order of Poor Ladies, today the Order of St. Clare, commonly referred to as the Poor Clares, a monastic religious order for women in the Franciscan tradition. She wrote their Rule of Life, the first set of monastic guidelines known to have been written by a woman. She's credited with writing words of blessing that I have used on occasion and will use today, and that you may have heard. Live without fear. Your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Go in peace to follow the good road, and may God's blessing be with you always. As you work to show kindness to others, to stop and listen to God's voice, to be bold and persistent in prayer, to look beyond yourself, my hope and prayer is that you will do so without fear, but rather in a joyful sense of abundance and a deep grounding in God's abiding love. Amen.